Hi, this is Roy Jones with Man Talk Radio Podcast. Our mission is to break down the walls of race and denomination. Your chosen Truth Radio broadcast will be starting in just a few seconds. Thank you.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to the weekend edition of Truth Matters with Dr. Cheryl Davis. Heard daily on this station at 8:20 a.m. and 5:20 p.m. Truth Matters is a ministry of the Truth Project, whose mission is to empower men and women in the Christian faith to teach biblical truth in the culture and marketplace of ideas, using the Bible as a sacred trust of truth and sharing the message of Jesus. Learn more about the ministry of the Truth Project at www.projecttruthmatters.com. Let's join this week's extended edition as Dr. Davis teaches on God's grace and why God allows us to suffer from time to time.
Hello, I'm Dr. Cheryl Davis, and thank you for listening to Truth Matters. Recently, we've celebrated the Mother's Day season, and I know many of you may be mothers, or you may have a mother in which you celebrated recently. So I want to thank God for being a mother, also for having the gift of motherhood. As many of you know, I have four children. I recently gave this message to a Mother's Day brunch at Pine Ridge Holiness Church in Hartsville, South Carolina. I think the message in which we shared for Mother's Day would be great for everyone to hear. So I want to share with you the theme of their Mother's Day brunch was to give them beauty for ashes out of Isaiah 61:3. And in talking about ashes, we really can't talk about ashes without talking about God's grace. We can't talk about beauty without talking about God's glory. The famous preacher Jonathan Edwards once said, "Grace is but glory begun, and glory is but grace perfected. Grace is the beginning of glory, and glory is the perfect end of grace." So if I were to give you a title for this, I would title this, "Begin with Grace and End with Glory." Begin with grace, but end with glory. So let's look in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. I thought this would be very fitting for talking about motherhood and actually talking about our service to Jesus Christ and sanctification. It says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I like to begin with the end in mind. You know, oftentimes I give my main point from the beginning. So if you do not remember anything that I say today, please remember this one thing. Whatever begins with God's grace will lead to God's glory. Let's start out with the beginning of the verse. May the God of all grace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 tells us that by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift from God. By grace, we are plucked off the ash pile of humanity and clothed in a robe of righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven, and we will never experience spiritual death, and we will live eternally. Do we fully understand the depth of God's grace? The Holy Spirit has been dealing with me recently on this matter. For the past few weeks, He really has opened my eyes to my own self as to what God's grace means for me. Talk about an ash pile. Sister Georgiana at my church sings a song. "He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son when He reached way down for me." We are going to have to choose between suffering and sin. I am not here to speak doom. I am just here to state the facts. Your decision, my decision, the decision of our children will be, will I choose suffering or will I choose sin? The sad state of affairs today is that the church has already failed this test. The church chose to stay home rather than assemble themselves together because assembling ourselves together caused suffering. The reason the church is more apt to choose sin rather than suffering because they don't discern what is actually sin. The Bible tells us that anything that is not of faith is a sin. If fear of taking the risk keeps you from obeying the word of God, it is still sin. Our pulpits are not calling sin for what it actually is. We are presenting grace and grace alone. We are preaching Christ as a suffering servant and not a returning and reigning king. We are not presenting Christ as Revelation presents Christ. "And behold, I am coming quickly. and my reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs, and sorcerers, and sexually immoral, and murderers, and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. Revelation chapter 22, verses 12, 14 through 15. To choose sin over suffering is to love and practice a lie. Point number two, it is time to break up with the world. Remember, suffering is to be chosen rather than sin. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. This may be a news flash to the church down the road, as I am sure that all of you know this already. Christianity is not the prosperity gospel that is preached in a lot of churches in modern day America today. The true gospel is that by grace you are saved through faith, and it is a gift of God, not based on works. The modern church today focuses on salvation and prosperity based upon my position as a believer. Because I am saved, therefore I am entitled to all that God has to offer. I declare it and it is done. The message stops there. What is left out is that Christ suffered reproach. The people of God have always been a reproached people. Therefore the church and the Christian will suffer reproach. Reproach is a disgrace, a struggle, or some type of suffering. Reproach is God's method to make us more like Christ and to develop and strengthen our faith. We don't get our faith out of the ATM when we need more of it. Our faith in God is cultivated in the reproach. The Bible says Moses, by faith, valued the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt. If you remember, Egypt was a wealthy nation, and Moses grew up having the best of everything. He had the potential to be Pharaoh in the future. He could have been the ruler of the modern-day world at the time. But instead, he chose the reproach of Christ. Moses took the worst of religion and weighed it against the best of the world and discerned that the worst of his faith is the most valuable. I can't say what the worst of the religion or the worst of your faith is for you. But what I do know is that some of us listening today have suffered a reproach for the sake of Christ. I would go further to say that some of us are suffering a reproach right now for the sake of Christ. You are in a God-ordained period of suffering, and it is not over until He says it's over, although you have prayed to the point of begging God for deliverance. I suffered a reproach for 15 long years, and today I am here to say the reproach will not last forever. The reproach will not last forever. Romans 8:18 tells us, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." We are suffering reproach. Some of you are exhausted to the point of giving in. You have asked the Lord, and you have grown impatient to the point of anger. God's grace is sufficient for your reproach today. Some of you are missing the value in your reproach. That is the part that I struggled with the most. How could God allow me to go through something so difficult and there be value in such a heart-wrenching experience? The worst of your reproach is still better than the best the world has to offer. How can you say that, you say? God has subjected you in hope. The world has no hope. God has subjected you in hope. The world has no hope. Let me share this with you. God is going to turn your reproaches into riches, some physical riches, but more importantly, eternal riches. Our suffering and reproach will not be in vain. God loves us too much to not reward our obedience. Notice I said obedience, not sacrifice. The Bible says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Moses' reward was that God spoke to him face to face. Moses saw his glory. No one else in the Bible had that type of relationship with God. Jesus Christ was rewarded for his death on the cross. So we will be rewarded for suffering reproach for Christ. Point number three, value the reproach of Christ more than the riches of this world, no matter how hard it is. Christ will turn your reproaches into riches. Let's move on to Hebrews 11:27. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses, through an eye of faith, saw the invisible God. He was fully assured of his existence and of his gracious and powerful presence within us. But with God, what you see is what you get. Moses saw God, who is Alpha, Omega, the first and the last, God Almighty, he who was and who is to come. Moses saw a God who is sovereign and who is eternally good. He saw God who was the ruler over the kings of the earth. He saw a God who was worth leaving the world for, and he got a God that appeared to him in the burning bush. He got a God who parted the Red Sea and provided manna from heaven and water from the rock. Malachi 3:6 tells us, "For I am the Lord, and I changeth not. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. What I am to Moses, so I can be to you." Is the I am worth breaking up with the world for? Is the question that I have for you. Point number 4. In order to break up with the world, you have to see the invisible God. And the invisible God that you see is the God that you get. He saw an invisible God that was all the more powerful than any God that Egypt could offer. I want to thank God for his word. His word is clear in the fact that time is drawing near. Who is the object of your faith, God or the world? Are you in the middle of a reproach and you feel like giving up? You're not suffering well because you don't have the right perspective. If you knew that this suffering had an eternal reward far greater than you could imagine, would you go at it differently? Do you feel that you are unworthy to be used by God because of your lack of abilities and talents or the mistakes that you've made in your suffering? Your faith in God justifies you. God wants to meet you in your situation and clothe you in his righteousness and his love and his mercy and his grace. It is time to break up with the world. The Bible shows us a perfect picture of God's grace in the story of Saul, whom we know as Paul. In Acts chapters 8 and 9, we learn about Saul. He was a student of the law, and by our standards, he was extremely religious. He was so zealous that chapter 8 tells us that Saul consented to the death of Stephen, the first martyr. In chapter 9, verse 1, Saul is still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, and he went to the high priest to get letters to bind men and women who followed the way and bring them to Jerusalem. But in verse 15, the Lord is calling Saul a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. In the same short time frame that he was binding Christians and consenting to their death, God is calling him a chosen vessel of his. This is a perfect picture of God's grace. Saul was chosen even though he was committing persecution and murder against his own calling. No one was more unworthy than Saul. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. You may think that you are unworthy today, but really, none of us are worthy enough to earn the love of Jesus Christ. That is why it is a gift, a free gift that is given to those who believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Only you know what God's grace means for you. We must understand this concept. When we understand what God's grace means for you, you will see how your brother needs that grace as well. You know, and you'll begin to love like Jesus loves. Whenever we see ourselves in other people, or whenever we see our needs in other people, is when we can allow grace to flow and we can love like Jesus. We've got to begin with grace. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 tells us when we begin with grace by accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, he calls us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. We all are called to God's glory. Some of you listening may say, "I don't know what my calling is. You know, I'm just walking around in the dark." Today, I want to let you know you are called to God's glory. Let's get back to verse 10. He calls us. Then the verse says, after we have suffered a while. So when you're reading this, you're probably like, wait a minute. He gives me grace, then he calls me, then the suffering comes. So how does that happen? And even to go a little bit deeper, why does that even have to happen? I'm going to let you in on a little secret that not probably every Christian is aware of. But God will suffer us for a while because we are called to his glory. God will lead us into a period of suffering.
You've been listening to the weekend edition of Truth Matters with Dr. Cheryl Davis. Truth Matters is a ministry of the Truth Project, a North Carolina-based ministry dedicated to teaching biblical truth and sound theology to those inside and outside of the church. If you'd like to listen to these messages on demand, go to ProjectTruthMatters.com and click on the podcast link. Dr. Davis is also available to speak to your ministry group or church function. She can be reached by email at CherylDavis@ProjectTruthMatters.com. Or if you'd like to send a letter, the address is Project Truth Matters, Post Office Box 159, St. Paul's, North Carolina, 28384. You can hear Truth Matters devotionals on weekdays at 8:20 a.m. and 5:20 p.m. Until next time, let's all work together to teach of biblical truth, to assist, equip, edify, and encourage one another, and bring the gospel to the world. Because truth matters.
This is the Truth Network.